The gospel can change lives. But today, Pastor Ray Bentley says we need to let the gospel remain unedited.
There is a version of Christianity that's very popular. It brings people together. It's very uniting. But the cross part of it is often, in one way or another, either diluted or sought to be removed. Paul said then, and I believe it's still true today, don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord.
Spread the news. All of His people coming down before the King. Lift your voice. Jesus is coming. Join the song. Sing along. Let it ring.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. The most loving thing Jesus did for us is directly connected to the most objectionable thing we've ever done toward Him. He died for our sins, and yet sin is such a politically incorrect concept. Today, Pastor Ray says we need to be truthful with unbelievers about sin's seriousness.
Let's open our Bibles to my favorite book in the entire Bible, 2 Timothy chapter 1. The title of the message is, Love is Patient. Say that out loud with me. Love is patient. It's one of the descriptions of love. That's why we are learning. We are here on earth to learn how to love. Did you know that's why you exist? That's what this whole earthly deal is all about, is to learn how to love. Two commandments. The one first, greatest commandment, to love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Secondly, to love your neighbor as you love yourself. So we are here on earth to learn how to love. Love always grows. Love never stays static or remains the same. It's always, love always wants more. It's always growing. Therefore, it's always fresh. It's always dynamic. And part of that, one of the lessons we also learn about learning how to love is that love is patient and waiting upon the Lord, waiting for the promises of God, waiting for the dreams and the fulfillments and the desires of our heart. And why that message is important is that, what does it mean that love has, what do you have to be patient with? Very simply, in one word, suffering. We live in a fallen world. We live in a world that, the best way to describe it, it's broken. And that's the whole story of the gospel. The idea of to redeem is to restore. That's why Jesus Christ and what He did for us on the cross is the healing, restoration. It is the good news. As we begin, we're going to go through verses 8 through 18 of 2 Timothy chapter 1. This is Paul's last letter that he wrote while he was on earth before he died, before he was executed, before he was martyred in Rome. He had already been in prison once. He had gotten out. The Lord had delivered him. And he had gone on a third missionary journey around the world, starting even more churches, more church plantings, more miracles, planting the seeds of what would change the Roman Empire forever. And now he is about to leave this earth. He knows that he is going to die. And it touches me as a Gentile that one of the reasons that I am a believer today and have eternal life and a personal relationship with God through His Son Jesus is because a Jewish man 2,000 years ago shed his blood telling people like me, Gentiles, that Jesus is the Messiah, He is the Son of God, He died on the cross for our sins, and He rose from the dead on the third day. And, it reached a point where it was considered a threat, ironically, to the Roman government, and he was imprisoned and ultimately martyred, and along, of course, with the other apostles who were martyred, saying the same thing. But Paul was especially the missionary to the Gentiles. And so Paul is wanting to encourage this young guy, his young protege, Timothy. And I put in here a quote by Oswald Chambers, who I just love Oswald Chambers. This is one of his quotes. All through history, God has chosen and used nobodies because their unusual dependence on him made possible the unique display of his power and grace. He chose and used somebodies only when they renounced dependence on their natural abilities and resources. I mean, all the people in the Bible and the stories that we tell are, oh, we know this person and that person, and they're so famous. Well, at the time that they were chosen, they were nobodies. Moses, you know, had become a nobody out in the wilderness, had forgotten about, that he might be made somebody by the Lord out there in that wilderness. So Timothy, who is very different from Paul, is definitely the right man for the job. He is not a strong personality. He is not bold. He is not a natural leader even. And therefore, it was necessary that Timothy even more so be totally, entirely dependent upon the Lord. God used Paul in a very mighty way, a brilliant man, an amazing man on so many different levels. And yet what's interesting is God did not choose a second Paul to follow Paul. He didn't choose another brilliant, powerful, dynamic, energetic guy. He picked a young man who was shy, who was timid, who even his physical constitution was frail. There was nothing in a natural level that you would say, wow, Timothy, I'm sure glad we have him. It was Paul saying, Timothy, I love you like a son. I've adopted you into my heart. You're the man. You can do it. I love how Paul basically in these two letters, 1st, 2nd Timothy, said, Timothy, I believe in you. I believe in you. And there's this wonderful thing about, there's two worlds, the world of believing and the world of non-believing. We that are part of the church are part of that believing world, and it begins with believing and trusting in someone other than yourself, the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's only the beginning. We then learn as a body to trust one another. In other words, trusting in Jesus leads me to grow and to be able to say, I now can lean upon you. I can trust in you. And I do need you because we're all various parts of the body. One of you may be the hand, another is a foot, an eye, an ear, and nobody has everything. Each one of you has unique gifts and talents and so forth, and we are thus interdependent upon one another. Which is great. You're never alone. You have this beautiful family that you love and that you, and you don't have to be jealous of anybody else. Even two people that have the same gift. One will minister that gift in one way, and another, because they're uniquely different with their own personality, will minister in an entirely different way the very same gift. So there's this beautiful infinite variety within the body of Christ. But Paul was worried about Timothy that he would wilt under the pressure of shame and suffering. And it was well-founded because even Peter, you remember, had said, Lord, I am willing to go with you to prison and to death. When Jesus was powerful, when Jesus was doing miracles, when he was casting demons out of people, he's walking on water, he's multiplying fish and bread, he is raising the dead. And then he starts talking about, I'm going to the cross and I'm going to give my life. Nobody's going to take it, but I'm going to give my life as a sacrifice. Guys, this is what I was prophesied. This is why I came. I'm going to die. And Peter says, no, Lord, I will go to prison with you. I will go to death for you. And then relatively a few moments later, when now all of a sudden Jesus is handcuffed, he's led off in the middle of the night, they have this trial, he is dragged off, beaten mercilessly, and then nailed to a cross. Peter, terrified now of shame and of suffering, denies that he even knows the Lord. And finally, to a little girl, is so ashamed, he said, I don't even know the man. And the point is, Paul knows that life is like a roller coaster. It has its ups and its downs. It has its mountaintops, and it has some pretty long and dark valleys. And the church had reached a point now where The first century church had matured, the gospel had spread, but the tide in the beginning, when the gospel is fresh and new, people were curious and coming to the Lord, both Jew and Gentile, hey, it was okay. But now that it began to take root, and as Paul wrote in one letter, even those of Caesar's household greet you in the name of the Lord, Rome said, hey, wait a second, this is not just some little deal happening. And they began to oppose, and they began to threaten, and eventually, as you know, all of the apostles were eventually martyred, and now Paul himself is in prison in Rome. He has to be executed. And there was an aggressive push funded by the state to oppose and to destroy Christianity. And in the face of that kind of fear and shame, here Paul is he's in prison right now. Paul is worried that Timothy may, in his humanity, shrink from the elements of the gospel or be ashamed of Jesus, especially the aspect that was the most offensive, not only in the ancient world, but even to moderns today. And that's the message of the cross. So look with me, beginning in verse 8 of chapter 1. Paul says, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. I like that. Paul doesn't say, I'm Rome's prisoner. He says, no, I am the Lord's prisoner. In other words, I wouldn't be here unless it was God's will. And God prophesied to me and told me, I'm going to preach the gospel to the face of Caesar. And Paul knew that would cost his life, but at least he would say, I talked to the most powerful man on the planet, and I shared the gospel with him. What he does with the message, whether he, you know, how he responds is between him and God. But he did do that. Do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. Again, here was a, you know, Jewish conservative Pharisee who became a believer and then was sent by God to the Gentiles to share the gospel. So Paul is basically saying, Timothy, look, Timothy, it's important for you right now, at this very important time, for such a time as this, stand tall for the gospel. Don't be afraid. And don't be ashamed of Jesus. Don't back away from the cross. The temptation for Timothy to give in to shame was not a figment of Paul's imagination. As I mentioned here, the cross of Christianity was a scandal. And while it may seem incredible to us that people would be ashamed of Jesus, it was very real at that time. Both Jewish and Gentile people, the whole aspect of crucifixion, which if any of you know much about Roman history, there was a time where they really went crazy with crucifying people. And it was such a scandalous and shameful thing because they told the people that, look, we're only doing this for really bad people and who deserve it. So the idea of a Jewish peasant who is crucified, but now the story that Paul preaches is that he is God in human flesh dying as a sacrifice for the sins of the world. For people that were in the Roman world and educated and cultured, it was just like, it just seemed foolish to them. They did not get it. And so Paul was trying to tell Timothy, look, don't back away from the cross, because Paul knew that's the power of the gospel, is the message of Jesus on the cross loving us. It's not just the suffering he went through. It's what that suffering reveals. It's what that suffering demonstrates, that it represents love. And Paul wanted Timothy not to back away from that. Now, why is this so important? Because there were elements in the early church right now, when Paul is writing this letter from prison, there were elements within the small house church movement at that time. They were reasoning among themselves saying, hey, look, Christianity is doing really, really well. We've taken root. We've got momentum here. We have followers. It's multicultural. And all the elements of love and joy and peace and forgiveness, everybody, you know, they love that part of it. However, some said, there is an aspect to Christianity that people find really offensive and stirs up controversy and trouble and seems to be the root of all kinds of problems. And in fact, that's why Paul now is in prison, because he will not let go of this message of Jesus dying as a sacrifice for the sins of the world. So there were some teachers whose motives you can question, and many of them were jealous of Paul anyway, but who began to say, look, can't we remove some of the offensive elements, which essentially had to do with the crucifixion? Can't we remove that aspect of Christianity, keep all the other, you know, beautiful aspects of it that seem to bring people together, and move forward from all of this? That is why Paul wrote 2 Timothy. Timothy, don't be ashamed of Jesus on the cross. Don't be ashamed of me, his prisoner. And believe me, if Paul wasn't preaching about the cross and what the cross meant, he never would have been in prison. Christianity without the cross would have been one of another thousand various religious beliefs among a group of people that lasted maybe for who knows how long and impacted a few people's lives, and would have kind of melded into who knows what. Be sure of this, it was then, as it even is now, the dividing line. This whole aspect, and which is what Paul said, this is not just an adjunct to what we believe. This is the heart. You take the cross out, you've just ripped the heart of the gospel out. This is the essence of it. This is the message. There is no other message. We preach nothing but Christ and Him crucified. Which doesn't just mean we're talking about, you know, suffering and a man being tortured. What the real message is not about suffering. The real message is love. And what Paul would share with people as he reasoned with them, whether they were Greek from a Roman background, whether they were in the Senate, whether they were in the arts, whether they were in education, was, listen for a moment. I realize this seems absurd. I know that. I've been trained in your schools. I can quote your intellects. I can read and recite back to you your own beautiful poetry, as he did in some of his letters. I've had your education. I've also had a very thorough, in-depth Jewish education. And I myself, as a Jew, at one time did not believe what I am about to tell you, but I do now. And in fact, I am telling you the very one that I am now preaching to you, I preached against until on the road to Damascus. He knocked me to the ground, and I saw the glory of God in him, and his voice spoke to me. Paul had a very compelling personal testimony about the risen Christ. And it wasn't until that Damascus Road experience that all the prophecies and all the stories even that were there in the Jewish scriptures became living and real to him. And all of a sudden he realized that all the animal sacrifices and the whole system was only a shadow to point to what was the real story. So Paul the Apostle said, now, when I see Jesus of Nazareth on the cross, on that mountain, Mount Moriah, I see the love of God. I see, as John the Baptist had pointed 3 years ago, look, there's all these people following John because in the synagogues, it was just religion. People were going through the motions, but there was no heart to it. And it wasn't connecting. And they said, there's a prophet out in the desert. And he's preaching to the animals of the desert and to the mountains of the desert and to the sky. And he's yelling his head off. But you know what? It sounds authentic. This guy really believes what he's saying, unlike when we go in there. So before you know it, little crowds start going, and then finally, thousands of people go out into the wilderness because finally, a fresh, dynamic, ear-splitting, heart-convicting, touching, spiritual message from God was coming. And all he said was, get ready for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What do we do? You better repent. Get your hearts right, because the King, the Messiah, is come. So they're all getting baptized, hundreds of people getting baptized, all these Jews repenting and getting right with God and trying to get ready for the Messiah. And one day John points among the crowd. He says, look, and he points to one man. That man is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. That man is the Lamb of God, the sacrifice for the sins of the world. So Paul, yes, it took time. It took to pierce intellectualism, culture, Greek mythology, philosophy, the rock-heartedness that had come. But eventually, as Paul kept preaching the love of God and the cross and the blood that removes guilt, there was a moment that it pierced through, and there were those who believed. And once you see it, once the Holy Spirit opens your eyes and you look at Jesus on the cross and you go, are you kidding me? That is God and his love. That's how he feels about me. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. And you are pierced by it. You fall in love with him. You trust in him. Yes, surely on to the resurrection and all the miracles that he can do. But he showed and demonstrated his love while we were yet sinners. Christ was crucified for you and me. So Paul is telling Timothy, don't give in to those who are trying to remove what is to them shameful, or don't be ashamed of the cross. It is the message of love. It is the heart of all that we believe. We have nothing left. We preach nothing else but the love of God that gave his only begotten son. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed of me as a prisoner. If Paul had removed the cross aspect of his gospel, again, he would not have been in prison. And isn't it interesting that moderns today, there is a version of Christianity that's very, socially active, it's very popular, it brings people together, it's very uniting, but the cross part of it is often, in one way or another, either diluted or sought to be removed. Paul said then, and I believe it's still true today, don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord.
Important counsel from Pastor Ray Bentley about the integrity of the gospel message. Glad you've joined us today here on Maranatha Radio. And listen, to get a permanent copy of today's message, just contact us and mention the title of the study. It's Love is Patient, and we can send it your way for just $7. Again, the message title is Love is Patient. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in 2 Timothy on a single CD. MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at maranatharadio.com or address a letter to Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Well, Pastor Ray, we're making available your latest book, The Holy Land Key. I recently read a review, and it said, the book leaves you wanting more. This person spoke of how captivating it is to go behind the scenes in biblical prophecy. They said they were stunned.
You know, that was my personal experience. You know, after studying the Bible and knowing generally about prophecy for many years, God began to open up whole new layers of understanding of the past, of the biblical feasts, and of their relevance to the church today. And I was on fire, excited. I couldn't wait to write the book. And it's really exciting to see people reading it and seeing what I've seen, learning what I learned, and then getting on fire. And that's why I can't wait for people to read it and to learn these new things. I think it's going to really change their perspective and open their eyes in some ways they can't even imagine.
And this will reveal what we see reported in the news every day in a whole new light, won't it?
It will. I think that it puts an exclamation point on the things that we keep getting jolted by as we watch what's happening. These are the very signs and patterns that Jesus said are indications the kingdom is on its way.
All right. We'll find out more in Pastor Ray's book, The Holy Land Key, available to Maranatha Radio listeners for just $10. To get a copy, write Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. or order it online at maranatharadio.com. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in 2 Timothy. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.